Hello, hello, and welcome back to Heroic Stats Episode 4 on Any Heroics Podcast. My name's Stephen, and today I've got with me, of course, the competitive legitimacy, Dave Farmer. We've got not quite best newcomer because he's not actually that good at the game, John Partridge. I'm obviously the stats person for the GBHL, responsible for rankings.
Not the
We've got a We've got a different face here. Jordan, who are you?
Who am I? That's the question. Watcher extraordinaire, regular, just all round fun guy. He likes rolling dice and having a giggle.
Yeah, well
Balance.
known for appearing on top tables, crushing people's dreams, before sinking back down to the depths where you belong,
Exactly.
after having 6 pints in the
Mid-table
space of one game.
obscurity is where I really do my business.
Don't put yourself down. You want a few back-to-back 90s, right?
Yeah, well, a couple of 90s, yeah.
Almost. Also,
More.
almost best newcomer, technically.
Yeah,
Yeah, fourth wasn't bad.
Jordan is, of course, a member of Any Heroics. He's some would say the one of the second group to join after me, Elliot, and Josh. So yeah, cool member of the team. Welcome. We've
Thanks.
needed you on episodes where Moria has done well. There is a Balrog, obviously, in the
Yeah,
screenshot.
I've heard my
But
name in
yeah.
previous episodes.
Yeah. So let's with all that, let's move on to a first segment. Little catch up on hobbying. What's everyone been up to?
I've
Playing a
been
Faramir. Yeah.
magnetizing. Is that showing up? There's an empty
It's a
tray.
void.
Sponsored by WarMag. Thank you very much for sending us some magnets.
Have we been sponsored?
No, but maybe if I say it enough, they will.
Okay. It's one of those, is it? It's one of
Yeah.
those. Very nice. Lovely. Dave, you said you've been finishing your Faramir for your Rangers of Ithilien list?
Yeah, he's working. The lists are out now, so I don't have to be as cagey, but. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm painting my Mount Faramir conversion. Oh, the
Nice.
disappointment in the Guardians chat when that list was out. It was Ivan was like, "Really? Okay."
It is telling that
Yeah.
we knew and the guardians of this land didn't know.
Well, it's telling in some way. Yeah, it might be that I don't think you guys would change your list based on that, whereas I know for a fact some of them might do, Michael in particular. Poor
Wow, call
Michael.
out of your own team captain.
He overthinks his list too much. That's his
Yeah,
problem,
yeah.
isn't it?
Well, he's apparently taking Chiefs of Ruffians to the GP, so
Yeah,
we'll
that's what.
see.
Yeah, these ruffians.
Jordan,
The Marth.
what's your current hobby project at the moment?
I've just started working on some Serpent Horde boys, which you can't actually see, but they're going down the green and purple, kind of reminiscent of my first Eldar army kind of color scheme. Playing
Okay.
like there's gonna be a lot of I'm gonna be mainly gonna be betrayer based, I think. So I'm trying to get the kind of poisony look.
Like they're bathed in poison.
What about you,
Like,
Stephen? Any hobby?
yeah.
No hobby. Instead of painting any models for the GP, I've now just arranged to borrow them all. So the hobby project I did have has been just removed from the table temporarily. I do have to convert up a Galathrim captain for a future doubles tournament, which shouldn't be too difficult. I've got an old
Mounted
Roman one.
or
No, not mounted, not mounted.
okay.
It was for
I
that
like the
list
old
I showed
Ramil.
you. Yeah, well,
Not
I'm
that
converting
Ramil
up
you can see on screen,
the
the other
new
one.
Ramil model to be a Galathrim captain.
Right.
Because I don't
Okay.
like the new Ramil model. It's stinky.
It's like the new Glathrim Court Guard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
They're
the old
fine,
one's
but
one
I
of my
don't
favourite
they're
models.
fine, but I don't like the aesthetic on the new ones so much.
I like the thick ones.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan. Just let that one sit for a second.
Yeah. Moving swiftly on, should we look at tournament results?
Yeah,
No, we
let's look
can't
at
do
some tournament
that.
results. Tell me more about the thick models you like.
Big Tilly Alfred, best model in the game.
Allegedly. That's what we're hearing. All right.
So our first tournament of the weekend happened on the Saturday. It was a one-day 80 Thranduil's Hulls. Uh-huh. Unsurprisingly, held in Hull at Hull's Ain't Jewels Tabletop Gaming Club. I used to go there for 40k tournaments at uni. Nice bunch.
Oh, and I was going to say I think it's charity run, but I'm not actually sure on that one.
Yeah, so they used to be in kind of, there was a hall that they were in, and it was kind of a collection of people. And I think they now have their own venue, but still it's kind of ran by the community for the community, is my understanding. So Nathan Cocker was the TO. They played 500 points, four games. Rounds 1 to 3 was veto, but non-pooled. So any of the kind of 17 out of 18 scenarios could be picked, and you vetoed out of those three. Round 4 was contest of champions, and then they had an extra little prize on offer for collecting kind of Thranduil's jewels throughout the game. That might be a euphemism.
It's family jewels, huh?
They didn't have a most sporting prize to give out. They did, however, have best painted, and that went to Tim Elwes. And they are his lovely looking Rangers of Mirkwood. So not quite as many models as Dave will have in his GP list, but very nicely painted.
I know that a couple of weekends ago, Tim took, I think it was 6 or 7 Sentinels to the Irish Treasure Seekers event, which we covered previously. So obviously we don't have his actual list. I think he's got a lot of Sentinels in this list. I can see at least 2 or 3 in there. So Giga Chad moved him.
Don't know if this is a hot take or not, but that is my favorite Legolas sculpt.
Yes.
For the podcast listeners, it's the Hobbit plastic one where he's kind of on a tree branch.
Where he looks like really bulky. My hot take is I don't think Legolas on foot has any nice sculpts.
That is moving swiftly bulky, on.
I would say that model.
He's bulky. I like the paint scheme on this. I think it's cool. It's a little bit different, a little bit cool. The green booties is a little bit Robin Hood, and I think that's pretty neat.
So moving into third place, I think YouTube, our faces will cut off the end of this person's name, but it's Jake Banks. He brought Pure Lothlorien.
Jake Ban.
He's got Haldir, 6 Galathrim Warriors with shield, 2 Galathrim Warriors with shield and spear, 2 Galathrim Warriors with elf bow and spear, 1 Galathrim Warrior with elf bow, 1 Galathrim Warrior with banner, 1 Guard of the Galadrim Court and a Sentinel. And his second warband is Rumil, 3 Galadrim Warriors with shield, 3 Galadrim Warriors with shield and spear, 2 Galadrim Warriors with elf bow and spear, 2 Galadrim Warriors with elf bow, 1 Galadrim Knight with elf bow and shield, 1 Guard of the Galadrim Court, for a total of 28 models, and saying the word Galadrim over and over again.
This list was there were a couple of lists in this podcast that were horrific to put in to Lonely Knight. This was one of the two.
Because he's got all the bits of war gear split up.
Yeah, exactly. Love the list. Spam elves at low points will be good. 500 points, almost 30 models when they're all elves is pretty cheeky. He's got a banner, he's got the tricks, he's got a knight, he's got a wood elf sentinel. I think it's a pretty solid list. Doesn't do anything flashy, but it's just better than other lists in terms of each troop will beat other troops.
No march, though.
Always
hate to see a list without march. For me, I think I can't resist swapping Rumil for a Galathrim captain on a horse. But also, like, Rumil does a lot, nice. But for me, I think I'd always opt for the march. I think that's high value.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, yeah.
Lovely. In second place, we've got, I think, a repeat name, because we had him on Red Eyes list last week, no, or the week before, is Ben Haslam. So he's bringing, is it Defenders of Erebor Legendary Legion?
Defenders of Erebor again, yeah.
Yeah.
So the signature list for him.
He's gone for, rather than the dads, he's gone the sons this time. So Thorin III Stonehelm, 10 Iron Hills Dwarfs with shield and spear, 2 Iron Hills Dwarfs with crossbow, and then he's got Bard II, Prince of Dale, 6 Warriors of Dale with elf bow and spear, 8 Knights of Dale, for a total of 28 models. And like Ben's previous list, I think almost every model, kind of except for the heroes and the crossbow lads, has a spear. So that does allow him to kind of be quite versatile in how he sets up his battle line. and gives him quite a lot of options with positioning, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
And don't the Knights of Dale get the plus one to wound if they get charged? Is that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which is quite nice to.
Yeah. You clearly want to try and maximize your bows if you're going to run Knights of Dale, I think, on any mask, because that's like a clear synergy, right? It's a solid list. Again, it's maybe a little uninspiring, but plenty of dwarves is always good. Does it say who his leader was? Was it Thorin?
Yeah, his leader was Thorin.
Okay. There's not really a good option there. Like, they both have the same issues. Thorin at least has three fate, which is unusual.
He's also D8. So.
Yeah. I mean, Thorin is the obvious choice of the two. I guess, but like, you don't really want. Having said that, I mean, the last leader was Haldir, so it's like, there's leaders and there's leaders, isn't there? And at 500 points, there aren't many fantastic leaders on the board. So, yeah, it's a solid list.
And definitely seems to have a soft spot for this legendary legion.
Yeah, I was going to say I rate a man with a signature. I mean, that was me with my Kirith Ungol for a long time.
And I believe he's taking Army of Thrall to the GP. So he's definitely got dwarves on the mind.
Yeah.
Doing his best Ally King impression.
Winning list for this event was Kingdom of Moria. We've got Balin with four dwarf warriors with shield, five Khazad Guard, six dwarf rangers with dwarf longbow and throwing axes. And the second warband has the King's Champion, four more dwarf warriors with shield, three Khazad Guard, three Dwarf Rangers with Dwarf Longbows and Throwing Axes for 31 Dwarfs in total.
A lot of Dwarfs.
Mm. Yeah, it's a lot of Dwarfs again. The Dwarf Warriors, are they Defense 6 or Defense 7?
Defense 7. Shield. With a shield, they're Defense 7.
Yeah. I really like Khazad Guard. I've never used them, never played against them, but in theory, they seem good. I know some people probably prefer Iron Guard.
Yeah.
Is it 4-point difference, I think?
Yeah. Mm. Was that, Geordie?
What are the thoughts on the Dwarf Rangers with both the bows and the throwing axes? You wouldn't normally see both.
I think, so clearly they're running max bows. For me, I think the throwing axes are mandatory on the Dwarf Rangers. They're the only 1-point throwing weapon upgrade in the game, other than throwing spears, and they have a 3+ shoot value. Like, that's really high value. Like, their longbows are a little bit disappointing, honestly. If you could have the regular dwarf bows with the strength 3 bows, I think people would opt for them over the dwarf longbows, because dwarf longbows are just bows. I like the throwing axes a lot. I think that's like the selling point of those models. For me, I probably wouldn't run so many Khazad Guard. I'd have a few more Dwarf Warriors and then some Iron Guards for the punch. I've said this before. I think I dropped 30 models and have Iron Guard instead. I like Iron Guard a lot. We've had this exact conversation, John, which is why you mentioned it. But for me, it's a solid list. I think you really need the banners. Normally, I'd say Balin and Gimli is a solid combo, but you kind of need the banners for this one. Without the spears or multiple attacks, your dwarves are a bit on a limb. So it's a solid list. I think he's done well with it. Those second and first here are both masters qualified as well, might add.
Yeah.
Going into.
They clearly know what they're doing.
They're also taking what could quite easily be described as softer lists, which is
disgusting.
Nice to see.
Disgusting power lists. Yeah. Look at this Balin. Whoa.
So moving swiftly on to our next tournament for the weekend. It was Mirkwood Mayhem, a GBHL 90 held in Liverpool at Just Play Games. The TO was Isaac Wright. This one was a bit bigger army-wise, 750 points for 3 games in the day. Again, didn't have a most sporting, and best painted was won by Danny Taylor, who we've kindly managed to get some pictures of his, again, dwarfs. So it looks like a bunch of Vault Wardens, King's Champion, and then I think hiding up in the left corner is Dwalin?
Durin, yeah.
That's interesting. Those are not...
All dwarfs are the same.
Are those modified Vault Warden shields?
Yeah, I was thinking that the shield...
Or like 3D prints or something. Because they don't look like... Those are not... Like, they look like they're inspired by, but
are they the Arbalester shields from Corsairs? No.
No, they're not. No, those I think might be... In fact, I think those Vault Wardens in general are 3D prints, looking at them, actually. Those are not official Vault Wardens. They look very cool, though.
Yeah, they're very nicely painted and display board as well. Very nice display board.
I forgot to say thank you to Harry Parkhill for the pictures from the last event.
Harry Parkhill.
And also thank you to Calman for the pictures and details from this event.
Shout out Entmoot, Harry Parkhill's podcast.
And also shout out Calman, who might feature later on, who knows?
Spoilers!
Again, I think our names are cutting off the end of the name, but this is Alex Johnson. He's taken Depths of Moria Legendary Legion, so he's got the big Balrog himself, 9 Moria Goblins with Spear, 9 Goblin Prowlers. Next warband is a Goblin Captain with Shield, 3 Warriors with Spear, 6 Warriors with Shield, 3 more Prowlers. The following warband's exactly the same, another Captain with Shield, 3 Spearmen, 6 Shield Lads, 3 Moria Goblin Prowlers. And the final warband is a Black Shield Shaman leading 6 Moria Goblin Warriors with Shields. Jordan, you're the Moria expert.
Just before we start, I had to triple check this list because their assignment here of Shields and Spears just seems so vastly incorrect to me.
I guess there's an overspill from the first warband that can sit behind the shields, but to mostly cover them. But then even then, Prowlers wouldn't have a spear support. I like it. What the thing I noticed, there's no drum, which you normally do see in Depths of Moria at bigger points, and I kind of rate them not including it. I'm not the biggest fan of the drum in Moria. I think it's a lot of points to not necessarily get that much value from it.
Well, you'd lose about 10 models at least, probably.
Yeah, he's maxed out all the warbands, so there's not much more you can do. Black Shield Shaman in there is quite nice for a few, like, you know, one big tremor or a couple of banner, you know, shatters to get rid of opponents' banners. I like it. Yeah, it's just solid, all kind of. I mean, Prowlers, I think, are brilliant. So seeing, 15 Prowlers is quite nice. That's a lot of throwing weapons as well. Yeah. I like it. I like there's no drum in there. That's the thing that stood out for me.
Fight 4 near the Balrog as well. I think, yeah, what you mentioned, Stephen, the number of shields seems a little excessive, but you may be right, Geordie, he's not necessarily planning on putting down that 9 backed by 9 spears. He's probably thinking the Prowlers might skirmish a little more. I think if I was going to do that, I might deploy them a little differently, but maybe he just felt like, because you've got the Fight 4 Goblins with the Prowlers near the Balrog, and they don't need the courage when they're near the Balrog either. You don't need to take a regular Shaman. I would normally say I don't think the shields and the captains add much, but he's got full warbands.
Yeah,
so...
I'd have mentioned that if they weren't full, because I think 10 points, I'd rather have 2 more goblins. But...
I think at that point I'd throw some spears on some of the shield boys just for a bit more versatility. Maybe drop one of the shields on the captain. I don't know, but it's fine as is. Solid list. 750, 52 models is quite a lot.
I like the Shatter Shaman as well.
Mm-hmm.
Our second place list, as Stephen alluded to, was Calman Eric. He's taken a Last Alliance list. He's got Gil-galad with a horse and shield, 9 High Elf Warriors with shield, 2 High Elf Warriors with bow and spear, 2 High Elf Warriors with spear and shield, and a High Elf with banner and shield. And he's got 4 Kingsguard with spear and shield. So they're the elves that get upgraded to fight 6. Mm-hmm. Then he's got Curdan in his second warband leading 6 more High Elf Warriors with bow. And then Elendil as a 1 drop rounding out the list for 27 models.
You like this one, Stephen?
So a couple of things. Firstly, shout out Cameron for being my intrepid reporter. I just messaged him and he's like, oh yeah, I'll do it, of course. the way you wrote your list on Longshanks, Calman, oh my god, that was so irritating. He basically wrote 18 elf warriors, 16 shields, 4 Kingsguard, 8 spears, 2 bows, 1 banner, and I had to kind of work out in my head what everything was going with. So yeah, but this list, oh my god, it's beautiful. You just have Elendil riding backwards and forwards, killing a bunch of stuff. Gil-galad being like, yep, any heroes this way, please. And then the elves just kind of sit there and try not to die while Círdan shields them from being charged and shooting.
Yeah.
It's this list is beautiful. I love Elendil. I love Gil-galad, obviously.
Yeah, I think no when you can have Elendil even. Just running around as well is quite nice, just to free her at combats, fight seven, you know, just doing his business. If he dies, it's obviously you're not trying to have him die, but if he dies, there's no VPs or that.
So you've got a turbo assassin when it comes to stuff like assassination and Fog of War. You're like, aha, Elendil is here to smash.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Kaidan then, but fair enough.
Yeah.
The number of games I've won with Kaidan as my assassin, it's quite high.
You play a two-hero army. It's just how it has to be. The thing is, I like this. He, to a degree anyway, he's not bothered with any of the Numenoreans. I think he's probably felt that trying to get more D6 on the board makes the... Because you're not going to get good numbers anyway. And he's obviously going for a Last Alliance theme. He wants the High Kings. Fair enough. I rate that. I mean, it's solid. Really solid. He's run... I think he ran all hero Last Alliance to one of the tournaments. I've seen it on
all hero
Instagram.
And the banner bearer.
He
made a lovely lava board, and his gills conversion is amazing.
Yeah, it's converted out of the plastic element. It's very cool. I can't remember his Instagram handle off the top of my head, but Kalman steals right. What a ledge.
Yeah. Not much else to say about this list. Low numbers, but absolutely chatting it.
Yeah, I think if you can't deal with the heroes, they just tear you apart, don't they? And then if you can deal with them, probably doesn't go your way.
Ironically, the ring is one of the best things against a list like this.
Yeah. So we're not quite sure what you'll have seen up to this point. Maybe John put some technical difficulties music in. We were talking about Kalman's list. We were all saying how great it is and what a mega giga chat he is for using this list. And also how thematically the ring would fuck this list over.
Yeah.
But moving on to list number one, Andrew Morris, Champions of Erebor.
Where's Elliot Clone? You need him, eh?
I know. Incorrect image, actually, because we've got a couple of champions there who are not actually in the list, but we'll allow it.
No one could tell the difference between different dwarfs.
So first place, Andrew Morris. He's got Thorin, King Under the Mountain, with Goat and Orcrist, Dwalin on Goat, Biffa, Boffa, Bomba, Ori Nori Dori, and Gloin. I think if you were picking a who's who of the Champions of Erebor, these are the ones you'd pick majority of the time. Because Helion Fili are fine, but they're not any of the three attacked ones. They're not any of the burly ones.
Yeah.
I think also having Dwalin on Goat gives you that extra mounted threat. It's quite nice.
Wait, why does Dory have no head in that picture?
Why is Bilbo there?
Wait, Bilbo's head is just...
I think that's just how it's been edited. Me and John spent a lot of time last night working on this.
Nice. Decapitated Bilbo and Dory. That's cool.
Ironically enough, Andrew plays with Kalman a lot, list-wise. And Kalman is known for taking Champions of Erebor. And he's kind of like his... I spoke to Kalman. I said, oh, so about those Champions of Erebor, right? Have you heard about them? They're pretty good. And he was like, yeah, I guess I should have taken those instead.
He likes to call six heroic combats and smash everything with his little foot dwarves. Yeah. I think this is the right call. I mean, Nori, Dori, Gloin all have three attacks. Gloin and Dori are both plus one to wound. Yeah. They're solid as hell. Bomber can give back will. I mean, but for me, Bomber and Ori are the slightly weird choices, and Boffa to a degree as well. But I guess when it comes down to if you want to get a ninth model, you could maybe have the two Feeling Keely instead of those three. Might be better. But thematically, if you want to go Biffa, Boffa, Bomba, Ori, Dori, Nori, that feels better in a way.
Bomba is also very good for sticking in front of an enemy big hero and just him not dying.
Yeah.
From him having defense and three wounds. It's just very cheeky.
That's fair. I don't know the points exactly, so that might not be possible, to be fair, what I've said. But Thorin on Goat, excellent. Orcrest, really useful, especially in a list like this where Elven Blade roll-offs might fuck you over or potentially be a winner for you. Dwalin on Goat, big. Even if he loses the Goat, he's an absolute shagger on foot. I mean, it's an all-hero list. I have to imagine that the scenarios were fairly gentle for this, because it probably wasn't going to be, you know, domination or something. But if it was, fair play. Well done.
I guess in a three-game tournament, taking something that's a bit more skew like all-heroes can be really good if the scenarios swing your way.
Exactly,
like Dave alluded to, if they don't. Yeah, you're a bit out
of something like this playing like Lords of Battle or Contest, or, you know, a few other scenarios, is just very, very one-sided. You know, Assassination and Fog of War, this is great at. Well, maybe not Fog of War. Clash by Moonlight is great at. Anyway, it's good.
Shall we look at our final tournament of the weekend?
Yeah, let's do it.
Which the old intern clicked through onto already. But it was Turn of the Tide, a GBHL 90, ran at Atomic Cards by the wonderful Tom Patterson, friend of the channel. They had 18 players, 450 points for four games. Scenarios were random within pools. Most Sporting was won by Nat Sinclair, and makes Best sense. Painted was won by Chris Bunce with his Hunter Orc army that's shown on screen now.
Let's have a look.
Yeah, Chris Bunce, absolute champion of the painting scene. He does loads. Well, you can, if you're not looking at his work on screen, it's beautiful. He always does little display boards which are nice and themey. He's got some nice ice work.
Oh, he's strung his bows. He's one of those guys.
He's strung. He's added another string to his bow. And shout out to Nat Sinclair. Every time I've played him, he's beaten me. Which isn't saying much, because, you know, I'm a chump. But he's also just a generally lovely guy to play against.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Very, very good dude. Well deserved by him.
Yeah, probably. Anyway,
probably.
Could have been a fix.
It was either that or everyone else was awful to play against. You know?
Well, based on who won, was on the podium.
Yeah.
Actually, no, having said that, spoilers.
Our first podium placing is a lovely chap. So I don't know what Dave's talking about. Maybe he's alluding to first place.
No, I was actually alluding to second place as a joke, but yeah.
second place is a joke at this event.
Henry, well known in the community because of the 24-hour stream he did for Alzheimer's, I believe, Alzheimer's Research charity stream. Yeah. So Henry has taken Army of Lake Town and Thorin's Company. He's got the Master of Lake Town, 5 guard with spear, 5 guard with bow, 3 guard with just swords. Alfred, 6 guard with spear, 6 guard with bow. Braga, 6 guard with spear, 3 guard with bow, 1 guard with just a sword. Then he's got a Lake Town captain with 4 Lake Town guard with spear, 3 Lake Town guard. And finally rounding it out, he's got Bomber the Dwarf for a total of 47 models. So this is quite similar to Stephen, your list from Into the West.
Yeah.
You had Bilbo, whereas Henry's got a couple more lads and an extra captain.
Yeah,
I think he's got less lads, hasn't he?
How many models did you have? 42, 44 models. So he's got three more models, but he's swapped Bilbo for a Lake Town Guard captain.
Yeah, okay, because those warbands aren't very full. I like Bomber. If you don't know, the Bomber tech is on a 4+, he gives a will point back when you have to a hero, friendly hero. So having Alfred means that he can turn will points into might points. Not that this list particularly needs for loads of might, but it does tick over a little better when you don't have to worry about your might potentially running out. You can re-top up your master quite easily, which is nice. The other option is saying no to Bomber and opting for a sort of a 53, 54 model army. Also good. I think at 450, 47 is plenty. I think Bilbo is a nice choice, but again, not mandatory by any means.
This is also an army which Henry's painted in bright pink. He likes to do a lot of alternative color schemes, and I'm a big fan of this one. But yeah,
we're definitely seeing a bit of a resurgence with Lake Town. That maybe
Army
we'll
of Lake
on.
Town, yeah.
They never stopped being good at 500 points and below. I don't know why people stopped taking them.
Well, it's because they weren't 500-point tournaments.
Yeah.
Like, true. I mean, they were, but they weren't competitive ones. I mean, like, basically, end of last year was nothing but 800-point tournaments for, you know, what felt like ages in a row.
And it was glorious.
Yeah, I like that.
Our second place list is Nat Sinclair, so managed to get best.
What a scumbag. This guy can't have got most sporting, for sure.
it's always an achievement when you get most sporting and podium. I know Jakob did it to his and a few other people's surprise at the finale.
Big.
Jakob, famously nice chap.
I want to talk about this one. This is Nat's flavor of the year. He took this list to every single event he went to last year, and I think he went to like 20 events, 20 GBHL events, plus a bunch of non-GBHL events. It's his Erasgush Spider Queen Denizens of Mirkwood. What's the actual legendary?
Fell Beings, isn't it?
Fell Beings of Mirkwood. My apologies, Nat. And if you see this army at a tournament without nameplates on, you assume it's Nat Sinclair, because he's been taking this list a lot. Razgush, War Leader of the North, 8 Orc Warriors with Shield, 7 with Spear, the Spider Queen, 6 Orcs with Shield, 6 with Spear, a Bat Swarm, a Mirkwood Spider, and a Felwarg for 32 models.
No banner. But 32 models. 32 models at 450 is probably the compromise you get there. Yeah, one bit of gear on all the Orcs. Spider Queen answers a lot of questions. Bat Swarm helps her out a lot. Maxed out warbands.
Just in case you need to do weird things, I guess.
Yeah, right, a cheeky paralyze on a vulnerable hero is always a really valuable target. It's not guaranteed to happen, but you can also pile it in with the Spider Queen if you need a bit of extra oomph. Nice for recon, having another fast model. Swift movement, yeah. It's all right.
Yeah.
I don't like not having a banner, but this list definitely has the source for something like recon.
It's our Lord and Savior, King of the GBHL after he usurped Ali King, who is now missing, weirdly enough. It's Mr. Dewey Evans. He's got Suladan, the Serpent Lord, with Armored Horse and Bow with Poison Arrows. 4 Haradrim Warrior with Bow with Poison Arrows. 3 Haradrim Warrior with Bow with Poison Arrows and Spears. 1 Haradrim Warrior with Spear. A Haradrim Raider with Bow with Poison Arrows and War Spear. 6 Serpent Guard. 1 Serpent Rider. 2 Watchers of Karna with Twin Blades. Raza, Fang of the Serpent. Lovely little model. 3 Haradrim Warrior with Bow and Poison Arrows. 3 Haradrim Warrior with Bow and Poison Arrow and Spear. 1 Haradrim Raider with Bow with Poison Arrow and War Spear. 3 Serpent Guard. 1 Serpent Rider. And 1 Watcher of Karna with Twin Blades.
Bit annoying that it feels the need to describe all of their arrows as poisoned. Yeah.
I knew if I didn't, Jordan would say, but what type of arrows did they have?
AM or PM?
Yeah.
Eagle-eyed viewers will notice that we've tried to unify how we're presenting the army lists. And I think it's A, made more work for us, and B, it probably makes the slides look just as busy.
I think it looks nicer, at least.
You don't have to do it all perfectly in my... Well, okay, this is talk for later, but I think this is better than taking it in... You want to unify the style. It doesn't have to have all the information, but you do want to unify the style. This is the same list he took to Into the West. Not surprising, it's the same points level. I had to play against this in the final round. I lost, unfortunately. But it's a nasty shooting list. 32 models is good at 450. It's not brilliant, but it's good. Fill it down, big banner. 2 heroes that will grind out anything in combat.
Well, I think I spoke to Dewey today, actually. He very kindly came and dropped off some models that I'll be using this weekend. And he was saying that Raza, I think in each game, because he can choose his opposing hero to get the +2 fight and other things. And I think he said in every game he killed the target that he'd given Raza. So Raza definitely did bits.
Yeah, importantly, you have to write down the name of the target when you decide at the start of the game, and you have to write it down clearly. You know who you are if you're misusing it.
that's a very pointed,
very specific call out
for one person. Who probably shame.
To this. I thought you were slagging Elliot.
It's a very Dewey list. He loves his bows. He loves his serpent board.
Yeah.
He loves his pure green fluffy lists. I think he's won a couple of 90s with his Serpent Horde before. He's very proficient with it. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing right in the list. The only, you could almost call it a rogue choice, is he's got Suladam with a bow with poison arrows. But even then, I think it's a good use of 5 points.
Yeah, up your bow max. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's got 16 bows in this,
yeah.
which is the maximum you can possibly have if you're using those two heroes.
I guess as well, it's always the option. Like, I've always thought about sometimes putting bows on heroes. It means if, let's say, you do roll that four to, maybe take Boromir's horse or Imrahil's horse, you can spend a point of might. And I don't
Yeah.
think it's the worst use of a might point to take off that big hero from their mount.
When you've got might in your pocket, having a bow, it just makes sense. It's like you often see the Rivendell twins with bows, just
Yeah.
because if you've got three might attached to a bow, you've got the
'Cause I mean,
option to do
he's
things.
already going to be dictating a lot of how the game goes just because of his mass shooting.
Yeah.
He's going to be out shooting most things at 450, and with the rerolls with poisoned as well, like that will can make those fine margin differences of that extra one or two kills across.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it, if you've got 5 points to spare, I don't think it's the end of the world to spend them on giving Suladana a bow.
I think that's higher value than having another. He's got plenty of cav anyway. I wouldn't necessarily think he needs to add a whole lot. Like he's got four cav, which is a lot of 450.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be
Or
one serpent guide into a serpent rider, wouldn't it? Or one of the boys into a
yeah,
raider.
I think that's fine. Or like
Yeah.
adding a spear on every bow, what Harad, which is like doesn't add a whole lot because someone has to go at the front, you know.
Right, they were our three tournaments from the weekend. Shall we have a look at the stats so far for the year? I think
Yeah.
we're still at less than 10 events total, so.
Mostly small as well.
Yeah.
That army of Lake Town looking hot.
Still not a huge sample size, so
Wait,
hopefully
what is
it'll.
that assault on? Assault on what? I mean, it must be Lothlorien, right?
It is assault on
Yeah.
Othlorien, yes.
It's assault upon
They're
Helm's
both at the
Deep.
same tournament. It was the
Yeah.
Denizens in the Dark tournament.
Fire the intern.
Yeah,
Intern
intern number
number
six, come
six.
in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I
Very
mean,
nice.
as you said, Dave, no surprises here. We're seeing a lot of Army of Lake Town, very good at lower points. Assault on Lothlorien, again, good at low points. Depths of Moria, I mean,
Statistical anomaly or actually
sure,
cracked?
I don't think it's particularly meta, but it'll do well at.
I mean, actually, that was a 750 tournament, wasn't it? I was going to say at low
Yeah.
points, you can't
Yeah.
really. The Balrog's too many
Well,
points, isn't it?
the other one was 750 as well, I think, or 700
Yes, it
maybe.
was the
It was
Notch
like,
GT 700.
yeah, so it was, and that was two lists, the good v
Yeah.
evil. I think it's a solid list. I don't think it's anything particularly special. I can't see it ever doing very well at 100s, personally, but I think it definitely has a niche. Like the Balrog, if you're in a meta where people aren't bringing as much of their powerful stuff, the Balrog can maybe do a bit more work because it doesn't have to run into magic quite so much. It doesn't have to run into ring bearers quite so much. So you can say like, right, actually your Balrog is gonna do some bits for a change rather than getting shut down or getting, ruined by being charged by one model and then not rolling a six for two turns in a row, which is a classic Balrog maneuver.
So you're saying I shouldn't go and rush out and buy a Balrog
You should
right
buy a Balrog,
now.
John. You'll love
You
it.
Everyone should own a Balrog because they're very iconic and fun,
Yeah.
but a competitive model it is not.
Yeah, like if
Yeah.
you've used Gullivar and you go to use a Balrog, you're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, or if you
Very
use the
disappointing
Watcher,
profile. Or, oh my God.
I remember hearing someone on the weekend talking about how they were using the Balrog's whip to whip models behind goblin lines, and I'm like, no. The Balrog does the key. You don't need to whip behind to kill stuff. The Balrogs fight 10 strength 9. It'll kill stuff.
Yeah.
There's
Problem is
definitely
no.
a better model in Moria for that kind of
Yeah.
strategy.
No monstrous charge on the Balrog. No fly. Just
Yeah.
sad profile. However, very cool.
Looking at other lists on the graph, we know Minas Tirith does well at 90s, especially. We've only had 100 so far, so no surprises there. Serpent Horde had a lot of success last year. That's on two podiums as well already.
Yeah, I'm predicting Army of Dunland to take over the whole meta based on its 100. It's appeared on 100% of the GBHL 100 podium so far this year, and that's completely insane. Army of
Yeah.
Dunland is the meta. Do not fact check me.
It currently is meta.
Well, if the king does well enough at the GP
Oh, to
this
be fair, yeah.
weekend,
If he gets a few
it could be
podiums.
two from two.
Yeah.
So There you go, Ali. See. You don't want to lose the tattoo bet.
He's clearly a tastemaker in this world.
The tattoo bets, implying that there is a tattoo bet already.
No, if you keep saying it, it's true. Trust me.
Yeah. Okay. I totally overheard them. Things super friends. So.
And Barndor. Yeah.
I don't think Barndor really took off about outside of our circle.
No, people know what we're saying when we say Barndor. I guarantee
it. Fair enough.
I'm an influencer now.
I've just noticed it's fell beings of and host of the dragon.
Dragon what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dragon right, these balls?
Whoa! Oh! Anyway.
That was genuinely when Tinder first came out, that was genuinely a chat line that I used to use with varying degrees of success.
So... It was a long week last week.
Goblin my balls.
Well, we've got the blooper for the end of the show.
It's in the middle of the show. The blooper at the end of the show is the disaster in the middle.
Right, yeah. Questions. Number one, David J underscore 3922. Could Mr. Claire stroll back in and compete for the number one spot? Or has it stepped too far in his absence? Presumably this means J Claire.
I assume this is Jay Clare asking.
In answer to your question, he has been a top tier player for the last 10 years. He's dipped in and out when he wanted to, and he still writes the rules for the game. So he's probably playing playtesting games, if not weekly, then daily. I would have thought that with a bit of warm up at GBHO 100s, he could be competing. Yeah. Maybe not for number one, but.
My take on this is, if he chose to play competitively as the game is now, so unashamedly taking power lists, for example, which he did do back in the day, and very much hasn't done for quite a while, about 5 years now, I would have said. If he did that, yeah, absolutely he would be at the top of the game, for sure. There's just no way he wouldn't be. However, I don't think his desires are there anymore. He doesn't want to play power game stuff. He doesn't have the interest in min-maxing the game at every tournament, and I respect that as well. It's a different aspect. So there's a reason why he basically only plays the big tournaments now, so it was the like most official tournaments, so like Ardacon and the Warhammer World GT. I expect to see him at both of those, we will see him at those. But yeah, in my opinion is that yes, he totally could, because his stats are ridiculous.
Will he feature in a future episode discussion of who is the UK GBHL GOAT?
Yeah, could do. He's definitely one of the contenders, that's for sure.
So our next question comes from Wob Chica. After the success of Any Heroics at team events, are rumours of a Dave Farmer acquisition true? Dave?
Well, who is this? Who's asking? That's what I want to know. Let's see where we are January 2025.
Ooh, that's an exclusive.
Not a no.
Entmoot, so we shouted him out earlier. This is Harry Parker's fantastic podcast, and he's now doing a bit more on his YouTube channel, so check him out. Really enjoying this analysis. Good balance of bants and insight. Top work. Maybe we do have some crack. The best that's quote, Haldir does have a proclivity for death. I think that was from you, Dave. Original.
Was it? No. That sounds like
it's you sound more like the type of person to say proclivity.
I wouldn't use proclivity. It was definitely Dave.
Was it? Oh. Yeah. Well, you see, thanks. Well, thanks, Harry. fun fact, I'm actually on Entmoot 1, the original Entmoot. Harry beat me with Sauron and two fell beasts at GBHO 100 back in 2019. And I never lived it down. It was to the death in my defense, and I had hobbits strength 2, can't wound d10, which is a bit of an issue,
skill issue.
Yeah, my dice weren't the dice didn't go up to 7 was basically the problem.
Beast Vids asks, where's that good looking one, Jordan? Need more of that cheeky smile.
He's right there.
I'm here.
We saw
baby.
Your comment, and we got him on just for you.
we had 25 minutes of technical difficulties specifically from Jordan.
We had some technical difficulties with intern number 5 as well. Sorry, yeah. And that was intern number 3 at the time.
The only JP asks, what happened to intern number 1? And We're already on intern number 5 now.
So yeah, asking that question, JP will, needs to hurry up. Asking that question will make you the only JP too. So
we had some comments through different media, but please do kind of comment on the YouTube in future. Dan Hawkins asks, how are we 3 episodes in and Stephen hasn't mentioned his maths degree? Shocked and disappointed.
I'm glad you remembered, Dan. I'm not going to explain this in joke.
For the podcast listeners, you can tell from the very small profile picture, Dan is the handsomest man in Middle Earth. We have another question from Ivan. I think he's asked this before. Does time heal all wounds?
Well, the Irish don't seem to think so because they still hate British people.
Also, if you lose your last wound and you take the model off the table, it doesn't matter how long you wait, it's not coming back. That's what I'm saying.
True.
Like, from experience, I can say that heels hurt to walk in. So
heels do not heal all wounds. That's good.
Michael Bradford, friend of the channel, asks, what types of cakes does David Farmer like?
Now, this is favorites? A good question.
He likes ass.
Mr. Kipling French fancies the holiday ones. At Halloween, they do orange-flavoured ones. You get 8 in a pack, and they're usually only like £1.50 from Tesco. I could absolutely slay those all day. Like, I eat a box of them in one sitting, and then you look at the side of the pack, and you're like, ooh.
You know, considering how lovely Michael is, he's going to rock up to GP with cakes for Dave now.
Well, if you can get the orange flavour Halloween only Mr. Kipling French fancies that weren't sold at all this year for some reason, unbelievable behaviour. I'd be so on board with that.
You didn't ask, Michael, but my favourite type of cake is a Bakewell tart.
I'll show you a Bakewell tart, love.
The final comment is a lovely comment from someone whose name I don't quite recognise. He must be somebody new to the scene, but thank you very much.
I'm giving him an intro game tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, thank you very much for stumbling up on our videos, and hopefully you can learn some stuff watching. He kindly says, sham podcast, refuses to read out my comments. -7/10, would not even recommend to a dying supervillain. So thank you very much to David Clubbers for your lovely comment. Very kind.
Oh, I think he's James Clubley's brother.
Yeah. Steve Clubley's son.
Yes. Yeah.
That's part of the community.
Yeah. Thank you very much for watching / listening. Remember to get down in the comments below. Ask us stupid questions, good questions, bad questions. Any questions are good questions. Come back, ask us how much has Jordan's beard grown. Speculate on what type of degrees the other 3 members of the podcast have, or current members of the podcast have, and win a tournament or come 1st, 2nd, or 3rd, and maybe your name will be featured. Join us on the next one.
Steven out. Chitter chitter.
Chitter chitter.
Stay chittery. See my goblin? Goblin my balls. Hey, this isn't going to go live. You're going to cut this out, right? Intern number 3 is fired. Bring in intern number 4.
What the fuck is going on?